previously in our December Bible lessons, the angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah in the temple, and the angel tells this old guy that he and his aged wife Elizabeth are going to have a miracle baby, and is a sign that all things are possible with God. Zechariah is unable to speak. 6 months later, the same angel of the Lord comes to Mary. She too would have a miracle baby, and this baby is Son of God, Jesus Christ. And Mary is told, as a sign that all things are possible with God, her kinswoman, her aged kinswoman Elizabeth, is also having a miracle baby. So Mary jumps up and goes as fast as she can to Elizabeth's house, and the two women greet each other with great joy, with great fanfare, with great words, in loud voices and much love. They sing God's praises. Their souls proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Their spirit rejoices in God our Savior. And now we pick up the story with Luke chapter 1, verses 57 and following. And I'm going to read through verse 67, and then we're going to take the song of Zechariah. We'll take that in pieces and as we go. So now let us hear the word of God. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has that name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name Zechariah wanted to give the boy. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth fell open and his tongue was freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord is with him." Then Zechariah, the father of the future John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke prophecy. Luke, the gospel writer, is very clear that this is prophecy. That this is not an oracle, this is not a prediction, this isn't calling up the Psychic Friends Network, this is not Zechariah moving objects around during a seance. This is prophecy. In the great tradition of God's people, prophecy is speaking with God and then speaking for God. So Zechariah is speaking for God and for the people of God. And you will see that he begins this great prophecy by cheering. He begins this great prophecy as if he's at a football game, as part of the crowd, 80,000 strong, and just cheering on as fast as he can. This is not a solemn song that Zechariah is singing. He's not saying, "I say, well done, God, very good." He is screaming out. He's roaring, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for simply being God whenever, wherever, however, in every circumstance. You are God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel." He's calling out to God, crazy with joy. Simply remembering God is God. God is the God of our ancestors. God is the one who created everything out of nothing, who led our people out of slavery, who is faithful when we aren't, God who is with us when we exile ourselves, God who is with God's people when they were strong, God who is with God's people when they made trouble for themselves and everybody around them. Yay, God, praise be God. God has come to his people and set them free. One of my favorite, if not my favorite translation of this verse is, "God has moved into the neighborhood." How cool is that? God has moved into the neighborhood. And note that God has come. This is present tense. We aren't going to wait 33 years for the cross event. Jesus' life right here, right now, before he's ever born, gives us a new start. Our God hero, Jesus Christ, has, is, and will always set us free. He has come to his people and set them free. Another great translation. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. Free at last. God has raised up for us a mighty Savior, a valiant Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Jesus is our hero. Jesus is our hero. This is Thor and the Hulk and Black Panther and Superman and Iron Man all rolled up into a little baby in a manger. This is the ultimate superhero, Emmanuel, God with us, God Almighty. Not leaping over tall buildings or flinging a hammer around the world or not invulnerable, but a baby who grows into a teacher, goes into a healer, a miracle worker, to help us, to care for us, to show us how to live, to love us. A baby who grows into the crucified and risen. Not an avenger, but God with us. Brother, teacher, friend, healer, savior. As Isaiah puts it, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And through his holy prophets of old, God promised. God promised through people. God's promise. Unbreakable. Everlasting. That he would save us from our enemies. From the hands who would all who would detest us and pursue us with hatred. And we're not talking human enemies here. We're talking hatred. We're talking evil. We're talking the evil one. We are talking that God has saved us from the last enemy, death. God's promise has come to life. God's promise is life. Jesus is at work loving us, saving us from conception to right now and forevermore. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and mothers and to remember his holy covenant. In godly compassion, in godly kindness and love, we are safe from those previously mentioned enemies. They're defeated. They're gone. They're done. God remembered what he said. God does what God says, guiding us in this life and in the new life. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, the great oath, the solemn pledge. God keeps God's sacred promises. The oath he swore to our father Abraham was to set us free from the hands of our enemies. God promises to free us from the power of enemies, from the grip. One of the great translations of this, God has promised to save us from our enemy's grip. We don't live like this any longer in the enemy's grip. We live like this in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. And you, my child, free to worship him, without fear, we are free to go to God with everything, without fear of what God will think, about what others will think, about, well, maybe I shouldn't say this to God, you know, there's none of that. We can go to God with everything. We can go to God with intercession, praying for each other. We can go to God with supplication, one of my favorite words, supplication. I can pray for myself. We are allowed to pray for ourselves, folks. And we can go to God and ask for and receive forgiveness. We are free to live out the privilege of serving and worshiping without being afraid. So we can only cheer. We can only cheer God on. This is like the Hail Mary pass that works at the end of the game. You know, you go crazy. You just go crazy when that happens. And because of Mary's son, we have won. The night is far past. We're at the last seconds of night, and Mary's son saves us. As sports announcer Jack Buck would yell into the microphone, "Go crazy, fans, go crazy." this Savior is holy and righteous in his sight. And he has made us holy and righteous all the days of our lives. Righteous is a big church word. I don't know what it means, righteous. You know, wow, that's a big word. I think it just means Jesus made us right with God. Jesus puts us in right relationship with God. He sets us apart. In right relationship, suddenly we are good and honorable, and we're better than we could ever think we could be because Jesus has put us right with God. And read in Lotus, it's not past tense and it's not future tense. This is months before Jesus is born, we have this prophecy. We are preaching, we're working, we're looking at this prophecy thousands of years after Jesus died and rose and went to heaven. This is past and present and future all in one. He is God who is and who was and who is forever. Have you ever been at the grocery store? I'm at the grocery store. I'm standing in line and I'm buying something like quasi-religious. And I'm buying it and the clerk looks at me, true story, clerk looks at me and says, "Have you been saved?" And, you know, we've all been asked that question in many different situations in life. Have you been saved? And I'm always so proud of myself. I stand up real tall and I stick my belly out and I say, "Yes, I have." And you can just see her face glow. She said, "And when?" I said, "Before the creation of the world." God knows you. God loves you. God has been yours and you have been God's since before you were a blink of the eye of this creation, since before the Big Bang. You are saved and loved and God is here. Present tense, always present tense with God. Then another question somebody's asked me lately a couple of times, can I lose salvation? Wow, that's a big question. That's a frightening question. No. Unless you cannot lose salvation unless you utterly, totally, and completely are convinced you do not believe. But even if you have a flicker, that much faith, a flicker of faith, thank God Almighty, free at last, we are saved in Jesus Christ. So what's your future? Future is now. The future is now. From in the beginning to Emmanuel, God with us, to everlasting Father, future is now. We are in and with and for Christ. And you, my child, Zechariah continues, and you, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will make ready the Lord. You will prepare, as Miss Sid talked about, you will prepare for the coming of Christ to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. You will let people know that they are saved, that birth, cross, resurrection brings about life eternal. John the Baptist, Zechariah's son, was the first to be called the prophet of the Most High, but not the last. Let me ask you a question. This is participatory. Let me ask you a question. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Do you believe in Christ?
Yes.
Will you follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
And you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, are the prophet of the Most High. You speak for God. You have the same job description as John the Baptist, to let people know about this Christ who leads your life and who saves us. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Serve the Lord, live into the Lord. In the tender compassion of our God, because of the great heart of God is full of mercy, the dawn from on high has broken upon us to guide our feet into the way of peace. Through God's heartfelt mercy, the sunrise of heaven has broken in. The dawn of heaven has visited us. The Christmas is the proof that morning has broken. The first light of heaven has come to visit us. The first light of heaven has moved into the neighborhood." It's not a coincidence that Christmas is this time of year. Now, I am actually fond of saying, when I'm elected king of the year, king of the world, when I'm elected king of the world, one of my first decrees is going to be to move Christmas to the middle of summer. It makes sense. You can go and put up decorations and not get frostbite on your toes. Caroling without teeth chattering. No ice and snow when you do go over the field and through the woods. And no airport-related closings. Thousands stranded today in airports around America. No. I suggest that Christmas makes perfect sense during the summer. And I hope you know I am only joking. Christmas makes perfect sense right now. Right after the winter solstice. Right after the shortest, darkest day of the year. During these short winter days, it can really feel like the darkness is starting to overcome us, can't it? You go to work, you go to school, and it's dark. You come home from work, you come home from school, and it's dark. 6 p.m., it feels like midnight, and it's a long, long night. But now the sun has turned, and the world has turned with it. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the light of Christ, breaks through. It's not a coincidence that the day now is far spent and we're walking into the light. The new light of heaven breaks to guide our feet in this life and in the world and in the life to come. To shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the valley of the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. One step at a time into the path of peace. And here's my favorite part of Zechariah's song. When Zechariah sings out to guide our feet into the way of peace, he's talking about the shalom of God. One of my favorite words. Favorite word, Terry. It's a great word. The shalom of God. Because it doesn't mean lack of hatred. It doesn't mean lack of war. It doesn't mean, yeah, like peace, dude. It doesn't mean that. The shalom of God is to be walking in right paths with God in peace. The peace of God is walking in right relationship with God. So when we offer grace and peace, we offer God's unmerited favor and to be walking with God. So the peace shalom here that Zechariah sings about is right relationship of God, brought out by the nativity, brought out, given to us by this baby. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ is born in our hearts. Jesus Christ is born in our worship. So today, this season, we can be prophet. Go tell it on the mountain. Give gifts, visit, cook, do all the things Miss Sid went through with that we need to do, because that shows the love of Christ in our lives. And when necessary, use words, Merry Christmas. Wish strangers a Merry Christmas. Cheer God on. Cheer God on. Cheer each other on into the way of shalom peace, being in right relationship with God, thanks to Jesus Christ. And so the only thing left to do is cheer. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. For in Jesus Christ he has come to his people and set them free. For in Jesus Christ he has raised up for us a mighty Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen.